At last he died, as all must do, and they say he went up higher. But if he's doing what he used to do, he's sitting by the fire.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We're delighted you've joined us for Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill finishes out the study from the New Testament epistle of Romans today with part two of Not Names, Hearts. Now let's listen in.
Amen. If you see someone causing divisions or laying traps and so forth, man, listen, avoid that. Don't get involved in that. You remember the word offense. I covered, I think, whenever that sermon, I don't know how long ago it was, a year ago or something, from Luke chapter 7, the word offense there in the Greek means skandalon or skandalizo. It means bait stick. It means the crooked stick that you put for the trap, and on the end of it, you put the bait, you put the food. And then when the hungry animal or the person comes up, that bait stick is holding that up, and they take it, and all of a sudden they're trapped. That's what that word offense means. It means that people who do that, they're nothing more than a bait stick. These people that, where it says they don't serve the Lord. You know what kind of people that are in the body of Christ that cause divisions and sow discord? You know what the Bible says about them? Jude 19, listen carefully. It says, these are sensual persons. That means worldly. It's all about me, not about God. And listen to what they do. They cause divisions. They do not unite the body of Christ. They divide the body of Christ. And why? Here it comes. Not having the Spirit, capital S. That means the Holy Spirit. They're not led by the Spirit. They're not walking in the Spirit. So those who cause divisions in the body of Christ, those who divide the flock, they walk in the flesh, they do not walk in the Spirit. And I say this without one regret. Those who do so, they are nothing more than Satan's bait sticks. That's all it is. They're being used by the devil. May I say, my heart literally breaks when it comes to discord or division in the body of Christ. Boy, I have seen over 30 some odd years, I have seen all that I care to see. I never want to see anymore. But you know, those who are in the body of Christ, not I'm here anywhere, if they serve and they only serve self, whether it's a home fellowship or youth ministry, and I'm not saying anything about our people, okay, but I'm just giving an example. No matter what ministry it may be, you know what I found about people who cause division and sow discord? When they serve in those ministries, it's not because they want to serve the Lord. They serve because they want to be preeminent. Jesus is not preeminent. They serve because they want their own little bitty kingdom so people can look to them where they don't have to point people to Jesus. See, that's what causes divisions and discord. Do you know that? Listen. I think about those things. I say, oh, God, how horrible. Paul says, listen, you mark them out. You keep your eye on them, and you avoid those people who do such things. I promise you then, in Paul's day and this day, they came to the Apostle Paul. Oh, Paul, we love you so much. We're here serving with you. But the truth of the matter is they're lying. They're not telling the truth. Everything that they do is only for them. They despise authority. Paul may have said, I need you to be doing this. You bet, Paul, we're going to do it. Paul sends out a letter, just like every pastor sends out letters. Hey, I need you to do these things. But if you don't do those things, I'm telling you, you're serving self. You're not serving Jesus Christ. Boy, you say, Bill, that's tough. No, that's the word of God, and that is true. Boy, we need to mark those kind of people. And you say, well, Bill, why are you so, well, you know, man, come on. Because the Bible says that we are to hate the things that God hates. Amen? That's scripture. I'm going to ask you a question. Does God hate those who sow discord, division, lay traps in the church? Yes, Proverbs 6, verse 19. Check it out. God says, no, I hate that. Yes, God loves people. But you know the people that do that, boy, they're nothing more than Satan's bait sticks, loved one. They're building their own little kingdoms. They don't want power, meaning the Holy Spirit. They want power. Does that make sense? Now, not only that, how in the world do we find out? How do we avoid them? What do we do? Well, it just said there that we'll know them how. It says, contrary to the teaching you've learned. Did you know nowhere in Scripture is a believer taught in God's Word to cause division? Am I right or wrong? No believer in the Word of God, no Scripture says, I want you to go sow discord in the body of Christ. That's not in the Word of God. Yet, as much as Christians have heard, no matter how mature or immature, they've heard it over and over and over. I stand amazed that a believer can be in a group and listen to those who are sowing discord, speaking evil, causing division, and instead of stopping it immediately, they join in and become Satan's bait stick. Boy, beware of fake news. Beware of gossip. You know what? You better go to the source. If someone's talking about you or me or somebody, go to the one who knows and find out the truth for yourself. They come in and the next thing you know, they say, oh, the Lord has told me to leave here and go to someplace else. And then they take their whole ministry team from the church and they do in other churches as well, set something up in their own home. God help them in that day. Woe be unto them who causes that kind of discord and divisions in the body of Christ. Now look at this carefully in verse 19. It says, for your obedience has become known to all. Obedience. The people, he says, oh man, listen, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to do something. I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent or simple, harmless concerning evil. Now listen, we're still in context here about those who sow divisions and so forth, the discord. The best protection against those who sow discord or cause problems in the church or even false teachers is to know the Word of God, to know what God's Word says, and then be obedient to God's Word. Listen, obedience is love in action. Obedience is faith in action. Remember what Jesus said, John 14:15? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, I don't want you to be wise in what is good, simple, or innocent. There it says concerning evil. Listen, we don't need to know what evil is. We've already eaten, our parents, Adam and Eve, they've already eaten from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. I don't want any more evil, do you? No, in other words, you know, when I was a little boy, we had alleyways, okay, that divided up the homes. The trash can people would, or we had trash cans, those metal trash cans that sat on each side in a little wooden crate. Y'all remember that? And this side, you remember? I just want to talk to somebody that remembers. Yeah, and so, you know, when I would walk through the alleys, I didn't go, where's the trash can? It's trash day. And I'd pull off the lid and go, let me smell this. Did you? No, I don't want to smell that stinking stuff. What does that mean? I don't need to know what's in there. I don't need to lift the lid on anything that's evil and say, now I know what it is. I don't need to watch some X-rated movie to know that it's not fit for my eyes. Are you listening to me? I don't need that. You don't need that. Why? We're servants of God. We're the ambassadors of Christ. Amen. We're here to serve the Lord with all of our heart. Listen, we need to know our Bible, but we need to obey our Bible. Now look at verse 20. And the God, it says, the God of peace will crush or bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now listen, in context, to be true to this verse, we have to go back to verse 17. We're still talking about those who cause divisions and those who cause discord in the body of Christ. He connects those. Now, and those offenses, in other words, they work for the accuser of the brethren. We have already covered in our last couple of sermons back about how Satan is crushed. Amen? Christ on the cross disarmed him in principalities and all powers. But here's the thing about discord, division, or whatever else. You notice that it says it is God who does the crushing, right? But he uses your feet to do so. That's why every believer, they should say, that is sowing discord. That's not from the Word of God. And I crush that out in Jesus' name. You're not going to bring harm to my brother. You're not going to bring harm to my sister. Amen? That's what we are to do. Verse 21. And Timothy, my fellow worker, boy, we could spend a whole sermon on him, couldn't we? Paul's true son in the faith. And Lucius and Jasus and Sopater, my countrymen, they greet you. And Tertius, that's Paul's secretary, okay, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. In other words, he wrote it as Paul was dictating it to him. And he wrote it there in Gaius's home. Gaius, my host, he wrote the epistle there in Corinth from this man's house. the host of all the church, he greets you. And Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quartus, that's the Latin word for fourth, by the way, a brother. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Quickly now, as Paul closes this out. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, preaching of the Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. That's talking about the Jew and the Gentile becoming one body. And it says, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. And we all say, amen. Amen. Now, don't get restless. We just finished the book of Romans. Now, I want to make a quick application, okay? Very, very important. Loved one, listen. If you read those 27 verses, and I say this tenderly, I say it with deep love in my heart, because this is a great chapter to me. But as you read that and you look at what all these, their hearts and what they were doing for the Lord, would you say that maybe, just maybe, the 21st century church is just a little bit backslidden? We have to be honest. I mean, listen, we look at that and they labored much. They laid down their life. I mean, over and over, and they did it all for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what was so wonderful? They connected. They were side by side. They were working together for the Lord. Oh, listen, is that what we need to do today? If we would only say, you know, all of us, we are called to be salt. We're called to be light. We've been called to be a city upon a hill that cannot be hidden. We've been called to be the ambassadors of Christ. We're called for the Great Commission. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've all been given at least one gift by the Holy Spirit for us to edify and build up the church. Oh, listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, if we, this church, if we could only see what's coming, and if we would only rise up, I'm talking about not the few, I'm talking about each and every one of us. If we would all become servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, where our heart is just sold out to the Lord, I'm telling you what, we would turn this city, this state, we'd turn it upside down for Jesus Christ. But you see, you have to be involved. You have to be like Jesus. What does that mean? You have to be like Jesus in the upper room. What did Jesus, when his hour had come and he loved his disciples, he loved them till the very end or to the uttermost, what did he do? Knowing that God had placed all authority and all power into his hands, what did he put in his hands in the upper room? Tell me. He knelt down and did what? He girded himself with a towel and he washed the disciples' feet. And he said unto them in John 13, he said, listen, do you know what your Lord and your Master, because that's what you call me? Do you know what I've done unto you? He says, listen, if I be your Lord and your Master and have washed your feet, know that I have left you an example. In other words, what I have done, I want you to do. He's not talking about foot washing, loved one. He's saying that, listen, if you truly love me, he says, there's nothing too low for you to do. Amen. If, in other words, humility should be one of the high marks of a Christian, where they say, Lord, I'll do anything. I'll serve any way that you want me to serve. No matter what it is, I will be involved because I'm in the body of Christ. And Jesus told him in John 13, 26, after that, he said, listen, he says, do you know what I've done unto you? He says, blessed are you if you know these things. No, blessed are you if you do these things. You're not blessed because you know the Word of God. You're blessed because you know the Word of God and you do the Word of God. You just don't hear the Word of God. You're doers of the Word of God. That's what the Lord is telling each and every one of us. Listen, Romans, this great, great book that I wish there was just a couple more chapters to cover. You know, it's taught us so many incredible divine truths. One of them being from Romans chapter 12 about presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. You died for me. You shed your blood for me. You saved me. You purchased me. I belong to you. You filled me with your Spirit. I walk in your grace and in your power. He said, listen, I now do something, Lord. I present myself unto you as a living sacrifice. Here I am. Do you know what? You cannot, and I say, I love you, man. I love each of you, but listen to me. You can't call yourself a living sacrifice and be inactive in the body of Christ. No, you can't, because then that's a joke. It just doesn't work that way. You know, you say, well, Bill, wait a minute. I'm old. I am too. Yeah, but I'm older than you. Okay, listen, I do know that when you get a certain age, come on, slow down. You don't have to, yeah, but you greet one another with a holy kiss. Come here, and I'll give you one. No, I'm choking. No. You can do that. You can come and pray. I know that when you get, it's hard to lift, if you go to the nurse, you can't lift those kiddos up. Or maybe you're ill in your body. Oh, I don't want you doing any of that. If you're ill in your body, we're going to hold you up. Do you understand? No, we're talking about those who are well-abled and they can walk and talk and they're okay. You know what I'm saying? Listen, you exist to serve the body. The body doesn't exist to serve you. Isn't that good? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, that's us, joined, knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part, meaning each one, does its share, carries its own weight, causes growth in the body for the edifying itself in love. Listen, that's not team effort. That's teamwork. Everybody doing their share. Inactive Christians make the body of Christ dysfunctional. Not when we're not serving. Listen, if one part of my body stopped working right now, and some of you say, Bill, I think it's your brain. You know, the cheese has really slid off the cracker. No, listen. Well, it may have a little bit, but that's okay. I'm still here. Oh, no, listen. No, we need to work together. We need to work together. Here's what I want you to do tonight, if you don't mind. I'm encouraging you to do something. I want you to read the book of Nehemiah. No, not the whole book. We'll read the first four chapters, but especially chapter 3 of Nehemiah, okay? If you will do that. Now, chapter 3 of Nehemiah, remember he was the cupbearer of the king of Persia, and Jerusalem is destroyed. The walls, the gates, all of it are destroyed. He goes to the king. The king gives him permission to leave. Nehemiah shows up and, oh, the destruction is horrible. And he goes around and he looks at the wall. He looks at the 10 gates that are all there and so forth. It's a 2-mile journey, according to Nehemiah, around that gate. But here's what you're going to find when you study that out. You're going to find out that, yes, people were against him. In other words, you're not going to build this. They were trying to fight against him. But the people who joined him, he had 100% participation of those who helped him. Let me give you some facts as I went through this morning and just look at that. He had 38 different leaders are listed in chapter 3. It's incredible. It's incredible. Matter of fact, just turn there. Turn to Nehemiah. It's right there in the Old Testament. Ezra, Nehemiah, you'll find it. Starts with an N. Did you get that? First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Go to chapter 3. And listen, I want to show you something. And just quickly, if you're there with me, I want you to go to verse 2 of chapter 3. And it starts off and it says, next to Eliashib. And then drop down to verse 4. Next to them, and gives a list of names. And then you go down just a little, next to them. Verse 3, next to them. Verse 7, next to them, and it gives these names. It goes on and on in verse 9, next to them. In verse 10, next to them. And again, it says next to them. And when you get to verse 12, next to them. And then when you get to verse 17, after him, 18, after him. In other words, over and over, they were working side by side. And then whenever the people came to try to stop the work of the servants of God, what did Nehemiah tell them to do? Nehemiah said, you keep your work tool in one hand and put your spear in the other hand. We're going to fight. We're going to win. We're going to build this wall. Are you following me? I want you to look now in chapter 4 of verse 6. After 52 days, women were working. Little girls were working. Everybody had 100% participation because they were all servants of God. And look what happened in verse 6. So we, not you, we, all of us. So we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. Why? For the people had a what? They had a mind to do something. What? They had a mind to work. Listen, that's what it's all about. I want you to ask yourself a question this morning, loved one. This chapter is so important to me. It's so important to God. I pray it's important to you because there's a calling on this church. God has called us. This is not a mistake. I didn't raise this place up. He raised this place up. He brought you here. Oh, no, listen. Ask yourself a question. If every servant or every member of Calvary Chapel, and you know, if they were just like me, What kind of church would Calvary Chapel be if everyone served like you served, or gave like you gave, or witnessed like you witnessed? I say this with deep love. I love you. I do. What a joy to be here with you. But I'll never water down God's word for you. Amen. And I'll never change it. And if that offends people, well, then there's churches that you can go and they'll never offend you. But it's not me that does the offending. It's God's word. May I say this with tenderness? You know, before I challenge you, do you know that I challenge me? I challenge myself. I want to ask you this question that I've asked to my own heart. When is your character going to catch up with your calling? When are we going to do that? It's not right that just 10% of us function and we come and sit. That's not it, loved one. That's not it. When is our character going to catch up with who we really are? With our calling, sons and daughters of the living God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God uses us like, maybe he'll use you like Peter, and his shadow just goes by and people are healed. I don't know. But there's nothing too hard for God. Let me tell you the word that I have for you. You are needed like Nehemiah's people. You're needed on the wall. You're needed right this minute. Right this minute, every person at Calvary Chapel, every member a minister, amen? Get connected and get committed to this body if this is your home church. Find a place to serve only if you're able, not if you can't. I don't mean that. No guilt. I'm not putting guilt on those who cannot. I understand. I'm going to close with something I never do. I'm going to close with a poem. He wasn't much for stirring about. It wasn't his desire. No matter what others did, he was sitting by the fire. The same old story day by day, he never seemed to tire. While others worked to build their church, he was sitting by the fire. At last he died, as all must do, and they say he went up higher. But if he's doing what he used to do, he's sitting by the fire. Father, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name today. We want your word living in us, abiding in us. We want to be connected and we want to be committed, and we want not a name, we want a heart that says, I will serve you, I will labor for you, I'll do anything for you. Oh God, help us for our character, who we really are, to catch up with our calling, what you've called is our true position. Bless your people. Touch your people. Oh God, I'm thankful for them. I love them. I thank you that this church stomps on discord, stomps on division, and kicks away every bait stick and says, no, we mark you, we avoid you. You serve self. You don't serve Christ. We lay down our hearts. And today, this church, every person, we truly say, Father, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto you. Now use us to change this city, to change this state, to change the world. Lord, let us be called Phoebe, radiant, the light. Oh God, I pray that. And I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord, that when this song is over, they make their way to the altar where they will find godly men and women that will love them and pray for them. I thank you now, Lord. I thank you for your precious word in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we?
And that concludes Pastor Bill's study from Romans. And God's word is so good. Amen. We'll be back tomorrow to finish out the week with another message from God's Word, and we hope to see you then. Thank you for listening with us, and we pray that your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.